seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the first book of the Kings, chapter 22, and the first clause in verse 34. The first book of the Kings, chapter 22, and the first clause in verse 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. The first book of Kings, chapter 22, and the first part of verse 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. We read in the lesson what the Holy Spirit had recorded concerning the land of Israel and of Syria and of Judah. And we read in the commencing of the chapter that there was no war for 3 years between Syria and Israel. It was a time of peace. But the king of Israel, Ahab, so wanted to take Ramoth-Gilead from the Assyrians. And he persuaded Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to support him in it. But the Lord was to overrule it all and to appear. You see, Ahab was, as we found if you read through the book of Kings, was an evil king, and he wanted to do this for evil means, and 400 men of his prophets supported him in it, and their report was all evil. But Micaiah, who was a man of discernment and was often God's messenger, he spoke so differently. And he prophesied really what the solemn issue would be, and Ahab would be destroyed. And in spite of all the efforts to disguise King Ahab as he went forth to battle and put on all his armour and protection, this was not to save him. In the providence of God, the Lord was to wonderfully bring him to nothing and destroy him before the people. And our text speaks of it. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. The arrow, though he drew it, this certain man drew it. He knew not where that arrow would go. But it was to enter right into Ahab. And the blood gushed from him, and his life came to nothing. Ended. Now I don't want to tarry this a day or this morning on all the circumstances of this. But what I want to look at as helped is what is in our text. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to die in this solemn day in which we live, to be found among these certain men or certain women. You see, this certain man, we're not told here in this record who he was. Notice some of the old divines said it was the chief of the Syrian army, but we are not told here. We know it was a certain man. And the Holy Spirit knows those certain characters that do draw a bow at a venture. And I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. The margin tells us, and you young ones no doubt will observe this, that where it refers at a venture, in his simplicity. It was a simple act, but had great consequences. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be simple seekers of the Lord. We're told by the wise man, the Lord preserveth the simple. And the psalmist spoke of it, didn't he? In Psalm 116, I think it is. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. The hymn writer said, simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. And what we need is the simplicity of the gospel if we truly fear the Lord. If you look in the ministry of the dear Lord Jesus, while he walked this earth, it was a simple ministry, but full of divine importance and divine power. And one would ever seek in our poor attempts to preach simple things. But this word has so rested upon me. It's rested upon me ever since Wednesday when I was asked to go at short notice to Black Boys to preach. And when Mr. Rosier asked me, I said, well, I will try and venture. And that so rested upon me. And I felt what a wonderful thing if we are venturers upon the Lord. And we tried to preach on that theme at Black Boys on Wednesday, but from a different place in the Word of God. But this word has so rested upon me since, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture. You know, it's like you young people sometimes will go maybe to a fair or somewhere and there's archery and you can try out a bow and you venture to fire that arrow in hopes that it will meet its target. Of course, that was the weapons of war in those days of Ahab. But I want to look at it spiritually. And I want to look at it a few ways. First of all, venturing to pray. You know what it is to venture, and a real child of God will, to venture to ask the God of heaven for his appearing. It's a venturing. You know, there are many professors of religion that will rush into things. But with a real child of God, they venture. And how do they venture? they venture upon the Lord. I remember some years ago going to a prayer meeting, and an old godly man, he was asked to pray, and he got up and he said, "Lord, do help me to venture to the throne of thy grace. May we not be like the unthinking horse that rushes into battle. We would not rush into thy presence like that unthinking horse. We want to venture." And how does the sinner venture? They venture by faith, believing that he, the Lord, will hear and answer. You think of, let's name a few characters in the Word of God. You think of Esther, when she was to go into the king. It was a venture. She said, "If I go, if I perish, I perish." And that's how she ventured upon her God, fearing maybe you may, because of your sin and because of your unbelief and because of our poor carnal hearts, that we might fall further into sin and are not worthy to approach a holy God. But you know the Lord's made a wonderful way whereby poor sinners can venture in and through the dear Lord Jesus as their blessed mediator, their advocate between God and the poor sinner, pleading on their behalf. There's a venturing upon the Lord. There's a beautiful couplet, I don't think the hymn's in our book, but it says this: "Venture on him, venture wholly." Now you think of that this morning. There may be those things you're praying for, your sin weighs you down, and you're burdened on every side, and you venture to come to him just as you are. You think of the characters in God's holy word that ventured to him. The blind man, the publican, the dying thief upon the cross, they all had to venture. Oh, they did. And it was a venture of faith. Believing the Lord would hear and that he would answer. Think of what the hymn writer said. "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much." It's like a little child when that needs something, it ventures, doesn't it, to ask its mother or plead with her for it. It ventures. The old preachers used to say, and I've quoted it many times here before, that venturing faith is the strongest faith. So are we venturers to the throne of his grace? And what is so wonderful, you know, about venturing to the throne of his grace is we can tell the Lord everything. All that we need. So like one dear old lady said many years ago, she said, "What I love about coming to the Lord is I'm coming to him that understands me and knows exactly how I feel. And I can tell him everything." You can spread it all before him, can't you? And it's a venture, isn't it? But there's this wonderful venturing then at the throne of grace, the door of mercy. You think how the publican ventured to pray for mercy. And why did he need it? Because he felt so much the sin and vileness within his own heart, and he ventured to ask the Lord to have mercy upon him. And then, as I indicated just now, think of the dear dying thief. He ventured, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Do those prayers suit your poor venturing heart this morning? Well, the Lord knows. But then you may be venturing to ask him to speak to you. And it's a venture, isn't it? Of faith. Lord, do speak. Think of what David said. Think of what Samuel said. Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. It was a venture in the lad's heart. David, what does he say? He ventures, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. He could see the solemnity of those that went down into the pit. And he ventures to plead the Lord would speak to him. Like this man, this certain man, ventured to fire that hour. And oh, what great consequences flowed from it, didn't it? The destruction of the evil King Ahab. You see, you may have, and we live in a solemn day in which it is so, there's the hosts of enemies are great to the Christian church and to a real child of God. You think of the difference between, and I hadn't thought of this before, but Micaiah was an only man, speaking what God commanded him. How many evil men were there? 400 of them. And all they spoke was evil. You go back to the previous chapters, when dear Elijah was on Mount Carmel. How many prophets of Baal were there? Evil men. We read, but the prophets of Baal were 450. Elijah stood alone. And there may be some of you, and I haven't really thought of this, but you know, walking a path alone. The hymn writer said, it is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone. And the enemies are great around you, aren't you? Young people at college or university or at school. It may be a lonely path, but you have to venture to take the course or venture into the work the Lord's appointed for you. And it's a venture. Depend, but I want to look how we do venture. This is what's so with me. And I'll direct you to Simon Peter. You know, the dear disciples in Matthew 14 were commanded by the Lord Jesus to get into a ship and to sail forth. And they did exactly what the Lord told them. They were obedient to him. And he sent the multitude away that he had wonderfully provided the loaves and the fishes for them. But, you know, there were the disciples going forth into the sea. And what happened? Now, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And, you know, if we're the children of God, the road to heaven will not be easy. They were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It may be there are those in your soul today or in your pathway. There are many waves, many tossings to and fro, and Satan roaring. And there they were alone in that ship, doing as the Saviour commanded. But then things seemed to get worse. You know, there are times when that will happen with the child of God. They say, well, Lord, how can we go on? Now things are getting worse still. It's the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour. You know, when you're in a season maybe of affliction or trial and the way is difficult, and then in the darkness it seems to get worse, doesn't it? But it was at that juncture that the Saviour appears to them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. He comes right to them. But listen. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. They trembled, for fear they just seen a spirit. And they cried out with fear. There may be those of you in what you may be passing through crying out in fear. But what I want to come to is this. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, and what a beautiful word it was, and may the Holy Spirit speak it to us here this morning. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He reveals to them his identity, who he was. It's like the disciples when, after the resurrection, their eyes were holden that they should not know him as they journeyed to Emmaus. But when he made himself known to them in the breaking of bread, then they knew him. There's a good prayer, isn't there, in our hymn, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And unless the Lord reveals himself to you, poor soul, you may feel like these dear disciples, that you've seen a spirit and cry out with fear. But what I want to come to is to Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And what did the Lord say to him? Come. And how did Peter go down out of that ship to walk on the water? Venturing. That's how he ventured. Venturing. And all the time he kept his eyes on the Saviour. Venturing to walk on the water. He could walk on it, keeping his eyes fixed on Christ. As soon as he looked at the waves, as soon as he looked at the wind buffeting him, he begins to sink. Now the vital point here is this. How did he venture out that ship? He ventured out of it, venturing upon his God, upon the Lord. Venturing faith enabled him to venture. And it may be in something this morning. It may be in something of providence. It may be in your soul. And you have to venture upon the Lord. It's really like David when he went up to fight Goliath. You know, the contrast in those two characters was vast. Dear David went up for that battle, venturing upon his God. All his hope, all his salvation, all his deliverance was in his God. He ventured upon the Lord. Now, how are you venturing? How am I this morning? Well, I don't say that in any way to lift up oneself, but I hope every time I go into the pulpit, it's a venture. And it's a venture upon the Lord. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, those that venture on him, he will never fail them. I've often said, if the Lord fails me, I'm finished. It's a venture. And every God-sent servant, as he goes under the anointing of the Spirit into the pulpit, and the Lord's dear servant here knows what that is, it's a venture. And if the Lord fails us, we're finished. But he'll never fail his dear people. You think of dear Joshua. When the Lord commissioned him to lead the children of Israel after the death of Moses, it was a great mountain to the dear man. How could he venture into it? He ventured upon his God. And what did the Lord say to him? I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when we can go like David, but I want to look at the other side in a moment. Venturing upon our God. Now you look in the case of David, the Lord didn't fail him, did he? You look at Peter, the Lord didn't fail him. We're often like Peter. What are we doing? Looking at the waves, you look at your afflictions, you look at your troubles, you look at your weakness, you look at the devil roaring, and you're afraid, aren't you? And you begin to sink, and so did Peter. But the wonderful mercy was the Lord didn't fail him. When he was sinking, and we're often like that, aren't we? We soon sink. What did the Lord do? He put out his hand and he caught Peter. He didn't leave him to sink, did he? Oh no. But oh, to sink into the arms of the Saviour. You see, that's what Peter did. In the arms of the Lord, he was safe. There's no doubt, as a master fisherman, he was a good swimmer, but now he's sinking. But go back to David and Goliath. As I've said, David went up, venturing upon his God. How did Goliath go up? He went up dependent upon his ability in war, a master soldier. He went up leaning upon his armour, resting upon that. He went up with all the hosts of the Philistines behind him to defend him. But what happened? They all failed, didn't they? You know, the soul that really ventures upon the Lord will never fail them. And their little hope will never fail. The hymn writer said, the Christian's hope will never fail. So there may be those of you this morning, you're like this certain man. Drew a bow at a venture. And this is what you got to do, you see. Venture upon the Lord. And venture on him wholly. You look at the case of dear Abraham, we looked at it only recently, when he went up Mount Moriah with Isaac. The Lord commanded him to go up there and to take his son, his only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice before the Lord. You know, there are times where the Lord will command the sinner to venture, and they venture in his command. Now you think of dear Abraham. How could he take his son? How would we feel with our children, take one of them and offer them up before the Lord as a sacrifice? You see, we know Abraham had that faith given to believe the Lord would provide. But you think how he had to venture up that mount. There may be some of you got mountains before you. You may say, Lord, but how can we face these mountains? It's a venture. And how did Abraham go? Venturing upon his God to provide for him. Oh, yes. And you look how the Lord wonderfully did and provided that ram caught in the thicket. Now he had, as I've said many times before, that beautiful view of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, caught up in covenant engagements. But he had to venture to do what the Lord told him. Now, has the Lord told you to do something? If he tells you, poor soul, I don't mean your own heart telling you. Let's be very clear about this. Our own heart suggests many things, doesn't it? The Lord's telling you to do something. It may be he tells you to sit still. I'll use a few illustrations. He may tell you to sit still. We think of that beautiful word which dear Naomi said to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until thou dost know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. And dear Ruth had to venture to do what the Lord, it was not only Naomi that said it, it was the Lord that spoke it. And this is what dear Ruth had got to do. She got to sit still and she had to venture to do it. She ventured to do what the Lord had said, and she sits still to see the Lord work. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. You know what it is to sit still or stand still or to be still and see the Lord work. I love those promises, you know. Let me just remind you of them. Well, think of the Red Sea. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. And they were to stand still to see the Lord divide the sea. It was a venture to go through that sea, you know. Oh, it was. And why were they to go through it? Because the blessing was the other side of it. I shall never forget preaching from that at Ashwell, I think it was 1976, if I remember rightly. And it was the first Sunday of April. And, you know, I said, and it was as clear today as when I said it, I said, you know, there may be those of you that have got this sea, and the sea may be the waters of baptism. There may be other seas, and they're set before you. And why does the sinner venture? Because the blessing is the other side. You know, it was a wonderful thing, really. The Lord sent me with that word, you see, to venture with the blessing the other side the water. I said, you know, we may pray for this blessing this side. We may dictate to the Lord and say, oh Lord, we won't go unless thou dost give us this and that. It's a solemn thing, you know, to dictate to the Lord. But what a blessed thing when he shows us the way. But what I was going to say was that day there were two in that congregation that were so exercised that the Lord would speak pardon to them before they ventured. The Lord Jesus had been made very precious to them. The one thing needful. But they told the Lord they wouldn't venture until he'd given them that sweet pardon. We know they crave for it and they long for it. And so may your poor heart. But you see, there they were, in a sense, dictating to the Lord. But you know, when I said that, as I preach, you know, the blessing may be the other side of the water. The children had to go through, Israel had to go through the Red Sea to receive the blessing the other side. And you know, the Lord used it. And they came to me and they said, now we know what we got to do. And you know, that Sunday evening I went to Lakenheath to preach. And I happened to mention that. The need of venturing, the blessing being the other side. And 11 o'clock at night after I got home that Sunday night, a phone went at 11 o'clock. And one of the deacons phoned me and said, you know, there's a lady come to see us this evening. What you said went right home to her. You see, the Lord knows just how to work. But he had never failed venturers. Well, I seem as time's gone, my scorn. Let's leave it. But, oh, you see, may we venture like Peter, like David, upon the Lord, not upon our own strength, not upon the will of man, not upon what people think, but venture upon him. And he'll never fail you, poor sir, whether you're young or whether you're old. I was thinking this morning, some of you may have read the little booklet, it's years ago since I read it, of the late pastor at Forest Fold at Crowborough, the late Mr. Littleton. He was pastor there for 50 years before Mr. Dells. And in that little booklet he tells about a little girl that was, if I remember rightly, either 11 or 12. And the Lord had so blessed her and come to her that she went and saw the dear man regarding joining the church there. She said, "Mr. Littleton, I don't want to come to church meetings or anything. I don't want to be involved in anything. All I want to do is follow my master." And the dear man was just overwhelmed by what she told him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And a certain man. You think of that this morning. A certain man, a certain woman drew a bow at a venture. And in drawing that bow at a venture in this case, there was wonderful deliverance from the powers of evil for the powers of blessing to prevail. And may the Lord grant it in these dark and solemn days. And may we be, as we leave it this morning, for your prayerful meditation, may we be real ventures upon the God of heaven. Once he loves, he never leaves, but loves his dear people to the end. Amen.